Patient denies nocturia, does report his appetite is good, denies paroxysmal nocturnal dyspnea. Physical examination, weight 180 pounds, up 7 pounds since August 23rd, 2012. Blood pressure?
Blood pressure 130 over 90, heart rate of approximately 68 and regular.
Neck shows no neck vein distension, lung fills are clear, cardiac exam regular rate and rhythm, extremities are without edema, period. Laboratory. Laboratory obtained since the patient's last visit shows a stable B1 and creatinine of 35 and 1.9 with a potassium level of 4.2, CO2 at 24, calcium of 9.1, phosphorus of 3.3, magnesium of 2.2, uric acid of 6.8 with an albumin of 4.5. Hemoglobin hematocrit of 14.3 and 42.2. with a microalbumin level of 59, which is elevated. Discussion and plan. I've done an extensive review of this patient's chart regarding his previous duplex and renal ultrasound showing only three small cysts in the lower pole of the right kidney, but no evidence of renal artery stenosis. Patient apparently has good cardiovascular function at this point. Review of the patient's chart does not reflect a previous history of B12 deficiency, so I think he can discontinue his B12 and continue a multivitamin only, period. With regards to his renal function, it would appear to be a new baseline at a level of 1.9 and a GFR of approximately 48 mLs per minute, which makes this patient have CKD level 3, which is an unexpected with long-term history of hypertension and some diabetes mellitus, period. With the new paragraph, with the degree of microalbumin protein excretion, despite the previous 24-hour urine showing only 300 milligrams of protein and a prior history of no previous diabetic retinopathy, the possibility of early development of diabetic glomerulopathy and what may herald a more precipitous decline in renal function may be evident, period, the paragraph. Patient did have a relatively low T4 level with a TSH at the upper range of normal, which will need to be repeated, as well as obtaining a repeat set of electrolytes prior to this patient's next visit. Period. New paragraph. With regards to the issue of the patient's blood pressure elevation, I would agree that he probably needs the resumption of some antihypertensive therapy, and especially in view of his history of the potential possibility of early diabetic glomerulopathy and protein loss, an ACE inhibitor would appear to be the most likely choice. Period. Therefore, we will start this patient back again on lisinopril at 10 milligrams at bedtime as his only starting dose, making no other changes in his medication at this time, repeating his hemoglobin A1C, as well as electrolytes, iron studies, and a follow-up B12, as well as repeat TSH and see the patient back again in approximately 3 months, period. Carl Wilson, MD, thank you. Hypercalcemia and hyperparathyroidism, period. Therefore, I believe that starting this patient on a small dose of Sensipar at 30 milligrams a day will be important in reducing this patient's parathyroid burden and hypercalcemic condition, since previous investigation fails to show an etiology other than her underlying hyperparathyroid disease, period. Additional laboratory at this time shows a hemoglobin hematocrit of 11 and 38.8, white blood cell count of 8,400, B1 and creatinine of 44 and 1.9 with a CO2 combining power 21, sodium of 147, uric acid level of 5.3, phosphorus of 3.9, calcium of 10.5, urine analysis showing specific gravity of 1010, pH of 5, trace leukocyte and no cells. Discussion and plan. Patient is clinically stable, shows no uremic symptomatology, seems to be gaining some weight without evidence of fluid embarrassment or pulmonary congestion. Therefore, she would seem to be stable at this time with continuation of a GFR in the range of about 14 to 17 mLs per minute at a baseline creatinine of about 1.7, period. Patient is mildly hypercalcemic and does have secondary hyperparathyroidism with no obvious etiology for her hypercalcemia otherwise, so we will start her on Sensipar, 30 milligrams POQ day with follow-up of her calcium to assure no hypocalcemic reaction occurs. No other changes in her medication will take place, and she will return in about 6 weeks, period. Carl Wilson, MD, thank you. Next patient's name is Holmberg. First name is Ulf. Please CC one copy to Ellen Barnett and Sanjay Dar, period. Patient is here today with a chief complaint of CKD level 3, history of present illness. Mr. Holmberg is an 82-year-old gentleman seen by us recently with a history of hypertension and CKD level 3.
as well as type 2 diabetes mellitus, previously using Byetta, but apparently with some difficulties that had necessitated its discontinuation, period. Patient presents today reporting that he was checked in, quote unquote, to Healdsburg General Hospital. On further explanation, apparently, he began complaining of severe coldness and pain in his right arm, for which Dr. Barnett had referred him to Healdsburg General Hospital, where he underwent an evaluation with the only findings of significance were an increase in his serum creatinine to a level of approximately 3.0, period. Patient did not have any symptoms while he was here, and since discharge from that emergency room visit, which was on 1/15/13, the patient has had recurrence of symptoms, period. Past medical history includes a prior history of coronary artery disease, vasculitis, myocardial infarction times 2 with stent placement to the RCA in 2008, period. Patient is status post 2-vessel bypass in August of 2011 by Dr. Ramsey Deek at Santa Rosa Memorial Hospital, as well as having CKD level 3 thought to be secondary to both parenchymal disease as well as the possibility of bilateral renal artery stenosis, which is most recent renal duplex of 827-12, showing us something consistent with renal artery stenosis, at which time the right kidney was measured at 10.8 centimeters and the left kidney was measured at 10.8 centimeters, period. There was some suspicion of possible bilateral disease at that time, period. Patient also has a history of type 2 diabetes mellitus as well as lumbosacral disc disease for which he has received 2 prior epidural injections, period, in a paragraph. Patient has an echocardiogram showing borderline diminished left ventricular performance with an ejection fraction of 54% and mild mitral valvular disease, period. Current medications. Current medications are unchanged since the patient's last visit with the exception that he is taking 100 milligrams of Losartan a day and he is taking 2.5 milligrams of Zoroxylin 30 minutes prior to his AM dose of Lasix, period. Review of systems is negative for nausea and vomiting. His appetite is described as, quote, down. He describes periods of being extremely cold following eating with pain in his right hand not radiating to his shoulder, with some periods of associated pain across his back, period. Patient denies frank diarrhea, denies paroxysmal nocturnal dyspnea, does require severe shortness of breath on exertion, almost getting totally winded taking a shower, quote unquote, period. Patient believes that his lower extremities are edematous and he has 2 times nocturia, period. Physical examination, weight 204 pounds, down 7 pounds since his last visit. Blood pressure taken in the left arm of 160 over 80, and on repeat 160 over 80, heart rate of 76 in regular, neck shows no neck vein distension, lung fills are clear, cardiac exam, regular rate and rhythm without gallop or rub, 2 to 3 over 6 systolic ejection murmur, heard best on the left sternal border, abdomen is benign, lower extremities show no significant edema, period. Laboratory obtained on 1/15 in the patient in the emergency room at Healdsburg General Hospital showed an increase in his creatinine from his previous baseline of 1.7, where he had a known glomerular filtration rate of approximately 37 mLs per minute, up to a level of 3 with a potassium level of 3.5, CO2 of 35, calcium of 9, albumin of 3.9, liver functions that are normal, a urine analysis showing specific gravity of 10/10, pH is 6, 3 plus glucose, 1 plus protein, no cells, TSH level of 1.25, chest x-ray showing interval cardiac surgery without acute findings, electrocardiogram showing a sinus rhythm, left atrial enlargement, left ventricular enlargement with an IVCD and secondary repolarization, period. Discussion. Patient obviously has a bump in his serum creatinine, probably concomitant with forced diuresis, which was necessary for both his symptoms of dyspnea and shortness of breath, as well as the extensive edema he manifests at the time of his last visit, period. Clearly, the elevation in serum creatinine is not totally unexpected under conditions of forced diuresis with this patient with both parenchymal and possible large vessel disease, which may alter the ability for autoregulation, period.
I will suggest that we discontinue the patient's Zeroxylin at this point to allow him to re-equilibrate, repeat his laboratory to determine if there has been reinstitution of autoregulation and improvement in renal function with simultaneous determination of GFR at a new baseline level, period. New paragraph. As far as this patient's symptoms of being cold and right hand pain, what comes to mind is the possibility of subclinical Addison's disease, and therefore we will obviously obtain at least an AM cortisol level and make some strong considerations for doing a cortisone stimulation test to assure that we are not dealing with any evidence of hypoadrenalism, period. New paragraph. Blood pressure is not optimally controlled at this time after a further increase in losartan. We are now at maximum doses of losartan and taking clonidine at HS only, which is somewhat sedating in and of itself. Therefore, one might consider a discontinuation of the losartan, correction of the clonidine, and the use of a calcium blocker to simultaneously treat the COSAR, which was present before the bump in creatinine, but may have been exacerbating the bump in creatinine by its increase in dose, which is also of consideration. Therefore, I will place this patient on 2.5 milligrams of Norvas, parenthesis amlodipine, at bedtime, discontinue the clonidine, continue all other medications, hold the Zeroxylin, repeat laboratory, and ask him to return to see us in about 2 weeks, period. Carl Wilson, MD, thank you. Next patient's name is Hoskins, first name is Lee. Please CC one copy to Dr. Jacobs at the VA hospital here in Santa Rosa. Patient's here today with a chief complaint of CKD level 3, history of present illness. Mr. Hoskins is a 68-year-old gentleman previously seen by my associate, Dr. Geike, found to have acute renal failure with an elevated serum creatinine of 5.1 June 21st, 2012, while he was admitted to the hospital at Santa Rosa Memorial with an episode of asymptomatic bradycardia and an ejection fraction showing 80% ejection fraction with grade 1 diastolic dysfunction, period. Patient was also found at that time to have evidence of B12 deficiency, period. Patient was seen here in August, at which time he was noted to be asymptomatic, off antihypertensive therapy, with a baseline creatinine previously known to be 1.3 to 1.6, having decreased to a creatinine of 1.9 milligram percent with a calculated GFR of 48 mLs per minute, period. Patient returns today reporting that he feels, quote, fine, just asking if he needed to be resumed on antihypertensive therapy, period. Past medical history includes a history of type 2 diabetes mellitus, previously treated with metformin, but more recently not taking that medication. Hypertension, also off antihypertensive therapy. Anemia with B12 deficiency. History of peptic ulcer disease. Seborrheic keratosis, a prior history of a colonic polyp. And sensory neural hearing loss, period. Current medications. Current medications at this time include simvastatin 80 milligrams POQ day, B12 1,000 milligrams POQ day, multivite 1 tab POQ day. Review assistance is negative for nausea and vomiting. Appetite is described as good, denies lower extremity edema, and reports nocturia times zero. Physical examination, weight 180 pounds, blood pressure 130/90, heart rate is 76 and regular, neck shows no neck vein distension, lung fields are clear, cardiac exam, regular rate and rhythm, extremities are without edema, period. Laboratory at this time shows a stable B-unit creatinine of 35 and 1.9 with a potassium level of 4.2, calcium of 9.1, phosphorus of 3.3, period. Patient's most recent hemoglobin hematocrit of 14.3 and 42.7. with a microalbumin level of 59. Discussion and plan. First of all, this patient is correct. Blood pressure medication should be reinstituted at this time because of the potential possibility that we may be dealing with microalbuminuria as well, and therefore lisinopril 10 milligrams POQ day will be utilized, period. Patient's renal function remains stable at this time with a GFR of approximately 48 mLs per minute, making him have CKD level 3, and I will obtain a repeat TSH level in view of the most recent findings of a TSH that was on the high range of normal with a low T4. Otherwise, no changes in the patient's current medication will take place, and the patient will return to see me in 3 months, period. Carl Wilson, MD, thank you. Next patient's name is Cons. First name is Robert. Please CC one copy to Dr. Warr, one copy to Dr. Stephen Banks. Patient's here today with a chief complaint of CKD level 3. History of present illness, Mr. Cons is a 79. Correction, 80-year-old gentleman with CKD level 3 secondary to hypertensive nephrosclerosis who presents today reporting that he feels, quote, pretty well. Past medical history includes a CKD level 3 with a GFR of approximately 40 mLs per minute, period. Patient has a history of type 2 diabetes mellitus, has had some difficulty in control, and is now being seen by Dr. Nakai, period. New paragraph. More recently, the patient was diagnosed as having prostate cancer for which he underwent seed implantation by Dr. Stephen Banks at St. Helena Hospital with some postoperative dysuric symptoms which now appear to be abated. Period. New paragraph. Patient has a history of coronary artery disease, status post-PTA and stent placement with a history of hyperlipidemia. Period. New paragraph. Previously, the patient was complaining of some breast discomfort and swelling for which there was a discontinuation of aldactone and use of triamterene with a mammogram and follow-up biopsy showing no evidence of malignancy, period. Current medications. Current medications are unchanged since the patient's visit of October 10, 2012. Review of systems is negative for nausea and vomiting. His appetite is described as? A patient reports, quote, thank heaven it's not as ferocious as it used to be, period. Patient reports one-time nocturia that has not changed without significant increase in edema and no paroxysmal nocturnal dyspnea. Physical examination weight, 244 pounds, down 10.5 pounds since his visit in October. Blood pressure taken in the left arm, 132 over 84, heart rate of 78 and 76 in regular. Neck shows no neck vein distension, lung fills are clear, cardiac exam regular rate and rhythm, extremities show trace pretibial edema. Laboratory at this time shows a stable bilirubin and creatinine of 35 and 1.8 with a potassium level of 3.4, calcium of 8.6, hemoglobin and hematocrit of 16.6 and 48.7 with a white blood cell count of 7,200. And a platelet count of 223,000. Patient's hemoglobin A1C was 8.3 at this time, and this compares to his prior hemoglobin A1C of 8.1, suggesting that there has not been any significant improvement since last visit in diabetic control, period. Phosphorus level of 3.6, urine analysis with a specific gravity of 1020, pH of 5, 1 plus protein, and no cells, period. Patient's PTH level at this time is 45, suggesting against any secondary hyperparathyroidism with a uric acid level of 10. Discussion and plan. Patient is clinically stable at this time, shows no deterioration in renal function with a stable blood pressure and glucose that has not improved but is significantly improved when compared to his prior course a year ago. Therefore, I will defer to Dr. Nakai further attention to the diabetic management. We'll make no changes in his current medications as far as blood pressure and diuresis are concerned. Suggest that he continue to take a little potassium-containing fruits in during the day, such as bananas and oranges, which he has enjoyed in the past. We'll follow up, check his potassium for possible need for potassium supplementation, but otherwise make no changes and suggest that he return to see us in about 3 months, period. New paragraph. Thank you very much, Dr. Warr, for allowing me to assist in the management of your patient's renal condition, period. Carl Wilson, MD, thank you. And to the transcriptionist, the name on this patient's chart is Cons, C-O-N-Z, first name is Richard. Correction, first name is Robert, period. Carl Wilson, MD, thank you. Next patient's name is Wilson, first name is Art. Please CC one copy to Dr. Robert Heckey, Dr. Jose Ballesteros, and Dr. Mark Bosdick. Patient's here today with a chief complaint of CKD level 4, history of present illness. Mr. Wilson is a 79-year-old gentleman with recent marked deterioration in his renal function due to a supraventricular arrhythmia and use of amiodarone, associated with a significant increase in edema and an elevation in creatinine for which there was an intensification of diuretic therapy and a consideration for the institution of dialysis, but patient improved significantly and was seen January 9th, at which time he was normotensive with very little in the way of edema, feeling well, eating well, in a irregular heart rhythm, but with controlled ventricular response, period. Patient returns today reporting that he feels pretty well, quote unquote, period. Patient presents today reporting he feels pretty well, period. Past medical history includes CKD level 4 secondary to hypertensive nephrosclerosis with a history of coronary artery disease, status post PCTA to the right coronary artery with the development of atrial fibrillation recently requiring initiation of amiodarone with acute renal failure and volume retention. Patient has been effectively forced diurese and proved as of his last visit January 9th, period. In paragraph, patient has a history of type 2 diabetes wellus as well as type 2 diabetes mellitus, as well as Parkinson's disease and benign prostatic hypertrophy, period. New paragraph. Patient had placement of a left upper arm proximal fistula by Dr. Douglas Jicka and has had consideration for ligation several times with continued fear of rupture, period. Patient presents today reporting that there are some dilatation of the veins in the forearm now as well. Current medications. Current medications are unchanged since January 9, 2012, with the exception that the furosemide is 2 tablets POQAM only, period. Patient is also taking amiodarone, 200 milligrams POQ day only. Review of systems, negative for nausea and vomiting. Appetite is reported as good as always, quote unquote. Denies paroxysmal nocturnal dyspnea, shortness of breath. Believes his energy level is back to where it was prior to the institution of the amiodarone and the episode of supraventricular arrhythmias that resulted in some acute renal deterioration, period. Patient denies significant lower extremity edema, period. Physical examination, weight 157 pounds, down an additional 4 pounds since he was here last. Blood pressure 140 over 70, heart rate of approximately 68 and regular. Neck says the neck vein distension, lung feels are clear, cardiac exam, regular rate and rhythm with a murmur that's heard, no S3 gallop. Abdomen is benign, lower extremities revealing trace pretibial edema in the left upper arm, psoas serpiginous, dilated, non-pulsatile and expansile aneurysmal left upper arm fistula, period. Laboratory values obtained since the last visit on 121, several days ago, the patient was noted to have a fasting blood sugar of 122 milligram percent, hemoglobin and hematocrit of 13.1 and 38.9 with a BUN and creatinine of 47 and 2.0. This compares to his last BUN and creatinine, which was noted to be 38 and 2.0, which calculates now to a GFR of 30 mLs per minute, by virtue of a creatinine clearance of 41 and a urea clearance of 18 for what would appear to be CKD level 3, period. Patient has a potassium level at this time of 4.1, CO2 of 29, calcium of 8.7, uric acid level of 5.7. Discussion and plan. Again, we have had this discussion regarding this patient's left upper arm fistula, which I do not believe that this patient will ever be able to rest comfortably in view of its size and the potential for lethal complications should it rupture, period. Therefore, irrespective of the future possibility of its need and its use in instituting initial dialysis therapy, I will proceed ahead to a call to Dr. Green for the purposes of ligation. At present, obviously, this patient does not require any dialytic intervention and would appear to be stable for follow-up in approximately 2 months, period. Carl Wilson, MD, thank you. Next patient's name is Chiosi. First name is Loretta. Please CC one copy to Dr. Martin Rubinger. Patient's here today with a chief complaint of CKD level 4 history of present illness. Ms. Chiosi is an 89-year-old female with a history of hypertensive nephrosclerosis and a GFR of 20 mLs per minute who presents today reporting that she's, quote, fine. Past medical history includes a history of progressive chronic renal insufficiency, presumably secondary to hypertensive nephrosclerosis, period. Patient is status post removal of a polyp from the neck of the bladder, which eliminated the need for prophylactic antibiotics with an early course of recurrent urinary tract infections, period. Patient has a history of zoster affecting the left thoracic area for which he was treated with Valsite, as well as having a history of type 2 diabetes mellitus, period. Current medications. Current medications at this time include Lasix 40 mg PLBID, spironolactone 25 mg PLBID, folic acid 1 mg per kilo, allopurinol 100 mg POQ day, Novolog by sliding scale, and Lantus insulin, approximately 18 units in the morning and 4 units at night. Review of systems. Patient denies nausea and vomiting, reports her appetite is, quote, good, reports there has been resolution of the left flank pain, which was persistent and ultimately proved to be musculoskeletal, for which she saw a chiropractor. Patient denies lower extremity edema. Patient denies dysuria and only reports nocturia times 1. Physical examination, weight 123 pounds, up 5.5 pounds since November of 2012. Blood pressure? Blood pressure 130 over 60, heart rate of approximately 76 in regular. Neck shows neck vein distension, lung fills are clear. Cardiac exam, regular rate and rhythm without gallop or rub. No murmur is heard. There's no left flank tenderness at this time. Her extremities are without edema. Laboratory. Laboratory at this time, she has a white blood cell count of 4,000, hemoglobin hematocrit of 10.9 and 32.4 with a platelet count of 277,000. Urine analysis showing specific gravity of 1010. pH is 6.5, clear. Trace esterase positivity with no cells and a culture showing 10 to 25,000 colonies of strep viridans only. Patient's BUN and creatinine was 26 and 1.35, which compares to her last values of 7 and 1.55 for a continuation of CKD level 4. Potassium level of 3.8, CO2 at 21, calcium of 8.3, phosphorus of 4.3, and an intact PTH level of 59. Discussion and plan. Patient is clinically stable at this time, does not show any advancing uremic symptoms, fluid accumulation, or elevation in blood pressure, period. Similarly, the patient's hemoglobin and hematocrit would appear to be stable at this time on our current medications, for which I will make no changes and suggest that she return to see us in about 3 months, period. Carl Wilson, MD, thank you. Addendum to this note, the patient reflects that her calcium level is a little bit on the low side, and in view of the fact that she is a female, I believe that the potential for osteoporosis may exist. There is no evidence of secondary hyperparathyroidism, so I would suggest, along with her D3, this patient takes 500 milligrams of elemental calcium per day, period. Carl Wilson, MD, thank you. Addendum to this note, despite the fact that the patient has a subclinical level of bacteria in her urine and is without dysuric symptoms, she previously has had recurrent urinary tract infections, many of which were asymptomatic. Therefore, we will repeat her urine in approximately 2 weeks to assure that there isn't a proliferation of the original 10 to 25,000 colonies of strep viridans, period. Carl Wilson, MD, thank you. Next patient's name is Sakamano. First name is Fidel. Please see a formal copy to Dr. Ken Marichanian. Purpose of dictation, initial renal consultation. Dear Ken, thank you very much for allowing me to see this very nice gentleman in consultation. As you're aware, Mr. Sakamoto is a 91-year-old hypertensive gentleman with some prior history of, quote, congestive heart failure, unquote, who has been known to have a progressively increasing serum creatinine over the last 2 to 3 years, necessitating this referral, period. Patient is here today reporting that he relatively feels, quote, good, unquote, period. Past medical history includes a history of probable chronic obstructive pulmonary disease with a longstanding previous history of tobacco use, period. Patient more than likely has a history of congestive heart failure with a history of progressive renal insufficiency and period. Allergies, no known allergies. Current medications. Current medications at this time include furosemide 20 milligrams, one tablet in the morning and a half at night. Carvedilol 3.125 milligrams PLBID. Agranox 25 milligrams PLBID. Aspirin 81 milligrams POQD. Simvastatin 10 milligrams POQHS. Trazosin 5 milligrams POBID, trimazepam in the evening, vitamins once a day, and fluconazole 50 micrograms twice a day by spray, period. Social history, the patient is currently widowed, has one child here in Santa Rosa, and is currently being attended to today with me by his daughter-in-law. Patient is a retired carpenter, smoked many years and stopped about a year and a half ago, and has not used alcohol or illicit drugs, period. Review of systems. Patient denies nausea and vomiting, reports his appetite is so-so, denies being hungry and has not for several years, denies paroxysmal nocturnal dyspnea or orthopnea, but does report marked dyspnea on exertion with a prior history of lower extremity edema controlled on furosemide. Denies hematemesis, melena, hematochezia. Denies symptoms of paresthesias or myoclonus, period. Patient reports nocturia times 4 to 5. Denies overt symptoms of prostatism. Patient denies hesitancy, urgency, frequency, or incontinence, period. Physical examination. Generally, a patient appears to be a rather small-appearing gentleman, looking younger than his stated age, walking with a device. Vital signs at the present time include a blood pressure taken in the right arm at the present time of 160 over 80, heart rate of approximately 76 in regular. HENT was nomospheric, atraumatic. There was bilateral early arcus senilis. Conjunctiva was slightly pale. Fundoscopic examination not performed. Neck supple without adenopathy. Carotids were 1 plus and symmetrical without bruit. No gross thyromegaly was noted. Chest. Examination of the chest filled to increased AP diameter and an increased expiratory phase of respiration with markedly diminished breath sounds diffusely throughout the lung, most notably at the right base without rouse or ronchi. Cardiac exam filled the point of maximum intensity, which was diffuse. Left ventricular line S1 and S2 were heard. A 3 to 4 over 6 systolic ejection murmur heard best along left sternal border. Radiating from the base where it was higher. No diastolic murmur could be heard or S3 gallop at this time. Examination peripheral pulse be 1 plus symmetrical to radial. Not tested at the brachial, femoral, 1 plus at the popliteal, 1 plus at the dorsalis pedis. Abdomen, slightly distended. Bowel sounds were present. No gross organomegaly could be appreciated. There was no evidence of a bruit present at this time or CVA tenderness. Genitourinary not examined. Rectal exam was deferred. Extremities failed to reveal any clubbing. Revealed 1 plus clubbing. Trace edema of the pretibial area. No cyanosis. Neurologic detender reflexes not tested. Motor was approximately 2 over 5 and symmetrical, period. Laboratory. Most recent laboratory shows a BNP of 202. White blood cell count of 4,600. Hemoglobin hematocrit of 9.5 and 29.1 with a platelet count of 158,000. Patient's glucose concentration of 105 milligram percent with a B1 and creatinine of 66 and 2.9, a potassium level of 4.9, a CO2 of 24, an albumin of 4, liver functions that are normal, cholesterol of 156 with an LDL cholesterol of 90, hemoglobin A1C of 5.8 for an average sugar of 117 milligram percent, period. Discussion and plan. Obviously, we will attempt to get records from Dr. Murachanian regarding previous duplex ultrasound and echocardiograms to ascertain both left ventricular performance, possibility of significant aortic valvular disease, all of which may be compromising renal function, period. Patient is significantly anemic at this time and will require an evaluation, including iron studies, B12 folate, and eventual referral for ESAs, period. The paragraph. At present, if this is a baseline creatinine of this patient at this time at 2.9, I suspect he has rather far advanced chronic kidney disease, and we will make a determination of that with a 24-hour urine. At present, I will make no changes in any of his medications, as he may well necessitate an increase in antihypertensive therapy, but not until we ascertain the status of his renal artery vasculature so as not to introduce a medication that can cause any precipitous decline in renal function in this very elderly gentleman, period, paragraph. I suspect that much of his symptoms related to his dyspnea on exertion and shortness of breath are primary pulmonary in nature. Pulmonary functions might be considered, and I will defer this to Dr. Murachanian's decision, period. New paragraph. Therefore, 24-hour urine will be obtained, echocardiogram if there's none available, as well as ultrasounds if there are none available, a follow-up evaluation to determine the degree of kidney function, as well as to obtain all emoluments of his iron and B12 studies to determine if it's appropriate for referral for ESAs, period. New paragraph. Ken, thank you very much for allowing me to see this very nice gentleman in consultation. consultation. I hope that this plan meets with your approval. Best of wishes, Carl Wilson, MD, period. Next patient's name is Brown. First name is Darius. Please CC one copy to FMC Dialysis in Santa Rosa. Purpose of visit today, discussion regarding peritoneal dialysis. Mr. Brown is a patient with end-stage kidney disease who has been making a directed decision about peritoneal dialysis and has finally made a decision to move towards peritoneal dialysis and has scheduled an appointment with Dr. Doug Green for catheter placement, period, in paragraph. Patient, in view of his living circumstances and the fact that training will be taking place in Petaluma, would also like to be cared for by Dr. Osman in Petaluma if necessary. I have informed him that he should make an appointment with Dr. Osman so as Dr. Osman can evaluate him and feel that peritoneal dialysis is appropriate under his care. Patient understands that I think that peritoneal dialysis is not an unreasonable approach for him and the treatment of his kidney disease at this time, period. Carl Wilson, MD, thank you.